Rail Technical Advisory.
Thank you, sir. I do recall, though, that Ms. Sweetman, Commissioner Sweetman, had an engagement at 11:30. So I'm just wondering whether we should start and stop or...
Is that correct? Is 11:30? Oh, we've lost you again.
It's 11:30.
All right. Well, we'll have a 15-minute break. Is that how much time do you need?
I am expecting someone here, so they haven't arrived yet. So I don't know how long I'll need exactly.
All right.
They may be late.
Okay.
Can we just proceed and
yes.
I'll stop us where we need to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next witness is Michael Than, and he's in Auckland, so he needs to be patched in by Zoom. And when you're ready, Michael, and when you're off mute, then it's over to you.
I'm ready. Can I just start my video?
Yes, you can, Michael. Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Than.
Thank you, Commissioner. Kia ora, ora koutou. Thank you, Commissioner, and the members of the hearing panel. And thank you for letting me come here to the hearing and provide my perspective to this important prospective project. It is indeed a significant project, not only for Palmerston North, but as well as for the future of railway industry in New Zealand. I hope that you all have had time to read my report, the S42A, the Technical Evidence Railway Track Design Construction Operations. I will not be repeating all the information in the report, but I'm just going to give you a summary of some of the specific details.
Thank you.
Okay. So again, I'm Mike Than. I'm the author of the Section S42A Report on Railway Track Design, Construction, and Operation. Based on the information provided by QRL, I agree that the existing Tremaine Avenue rail yard site is at capacity. And due to its legacy track layout configuration, the Tremaine yard cannot be expanded to handle future project freight demands. The proposed site for freight hub at railroads appeared likely to accommodate the current operational needs of QRL existing freight tasks in the region. And the concept design and the layout of the proposed freight hub appears likely to improve the current train operation and container operation throughput. Further to my S42A report, I would like to speak about two of my recommendations. After hearing questions and discussion about them during QRL presentation, specifically, these issues are my uncertainties about how trains will be operated and accommodated within the yard, leading to my recommendation that a detailed simulation of operation be carried out, and my concern that safety and design, SID, assessment has not already been carried out, and my recommendation that it be required to be done as a part of this process. First, I recall Mr. Moyle in his oral evidence provided further information on how trains may operate in the proposed freight hub. I found this information important and consider it provides further justification for the concept of operation report that I have recommended through the NOR process. Mr. Moll began to by explaining the complexity of integrated hub where three types of freight can access the rail. The first type was the bulk freight, the second was containerized freight, and the third was the distribution facility where the trucks would be loading directly onto the train. Mr. Moll said when a train leaves Palmerston North, it will have all three types of freight products on that train. It is my understanding that assemble a train containing all these three types of freight, a series of train shunting movement will be required. According to Mr. Moyle's description, when trains are brought into Palmerston North, the trains will be broken up and the freight will be put into customer shed. It is my understanding that breaking up trains, as described, will also require a series of train shunting movements. When the panel questioned Mr. Morley on the nighttime operation of the freight hub and how noise may impact the surrounding, Mr. Morley responded that the hub would operate 24/7 due to the logistical and operation requirement having the three types of freight in the distribution chain. So in my opinion, this highlights why a report setting out the concept of how the freight hub will operate, a concept operations report, and a simulation of train movements is important. First, based on my experience and on the industry accepted standard, AS7473.20, the Australian standard, and concept of a concept of operation is fundamentally important for guiding a rail yard design and layout. Actually, any rail design in that respect. Second, a concept operation report should include a train movement simulation, which will help determine the number of trains that can be safely be accommodated on the specific tasks or areas of the yard during a period of time. A train simulation also provides an understanding of the extent of locomotive operation and shunting movements. Simulating how trains will be assembled and or broken up will explain when these train shunting movements will occur, where these movements will be concentrated and will inform how they will be need to be managed. This valuable information could help to derive localized exhaust and noise emissions and inform localized noise mitigation requirement, emission mitigation and target control to achieve sustainability goals during the operation and maintenance phases can then be incorporated in the following stage of the design. Now that's a lot of technical terms in that. So I was just thinking about moving on to a more graphical presentation to show you a little bit what I mean, how the importance of the operation or simulation. Nick, will be able to present the third slides of my what I have submitted so far?
Michael, I thought you were going to have that up on, on your screen sharing function.
I will do that. I will do that.
I'll get the PowerPoint through to Kath just in case, but try and share your screen, Michael.
I'm just wondering if the host could enable my screen sharing. So I'm not able to share my screen at the moment.
Which is, I dare say, probably a wonderful time while you're sorting out technology for me to take a break. The person has just arrived. I think I'll only be about 10 minutes or so.
Well, let's just make 15 minutes and 15 minutes. Text me if it's changing and I'll let people know.
I'll let you know. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Than, but you can organise your slides.
Okay, thank you.
I do have a copy. Just, it might be easier if I just email them.
Okay. Hey, Nick.
Hi.
Hi, just in terms of sharing, it is probably best for us on Zoom if Michael can screen share, because otherwise I don't know if we'll be able to see the screen.
Yeah, that's yes. I'd
probably
yeah, sure. Time, right? So I'm trying to share my screen, but I'm not able to share it because the host has to disable the
They're trying to work on that now, Michael.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, I'm able to share my screen now. Can you see my screen, Nick?
Yeah, I can see it now.
Okay. Can you see the
Yes, I could. It's disappeared now, okay. But it was up there. Yep.
Okay, you can see the rail operation simulation sample, right?
Well, I could. Now I can only see myself again.
All right.
We can see that.
All right. I'll try a different way to share.
Well,
it's saying at this end that I can see the sharing. It's just disappeared. It's not sharing.
Well, we'll send the.
Okay. Yeah, I'd read a slip this morning. I went.
Okay, what about now?
Yep.
Yep.
We can see
okay,
it now.
Thanks.
Well, we could just get us here. We could open Zoom.
I think he's got to turn his video on because at the moment his video is off. I think that's the problem.
Michael, is your video off?
Yes, my video is on.
Can you turn it on?
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Are you still? Is he still screen sharing?
And are you sharing your screen currently?
Yes, I am sharing my screen. And it's, I think everyone on the call can see my screen.
Oh, there we go.
I see what's going on.
Yep, we
all
can
right.
see that.
So when you
okay.
get a screen share, it goes to the second screen.
Yes. Our engineer here is just going to have to be nimble with the Zoom boxes.
That's all right.
That's all right. Just do it the hard way and just sort of drag them over when. All right, I'll leave it with you.
Nice call.
So we can resume, and we have Mr. Fan's slide. Can my commissioners see the slide? Yep.
Okay. You can still see my screen, I hope.
Yep, we can see yep. that, thank you.
Okay. All right, I just want to pick up where I left recently. I want to put on a little bit weight on regarding about the simulation. So putting words into more graphics, this is, please bear in mind, this is just an example of simulation. It's actually not a full simulation. It's just a result of a simulation. What you're about to see is a couple of locals dragging in wagons into this site, and then the local will leave the site. What's going to happen next is there will be numbers of shunting movement to get the wagons from one place to its end destination. What I want to show and what are the takeaways from here is I want you to understand the constraints of the train movement, the stabling of the wagon. That means that where the wagon is placed, that's going to be divided. That's where the most of the shunting, the noise, going to generate, and then how these going to be moved around the area. I'm just going to go ahead and play the animation. You can see here, this is when the trains arrive to a line where it's supposed to leave the wagons. The trains then depart. This is where the shunting loco will come, and we're trying to understand how it operates. Decouple wagons, trying to move again to do decoupling the second part of the wagon, and then finally it's going to be pushing in the wagons inside the where it's supposed to be in the depot. All right, I'm just going to stop the sharing now, going back to my notes. All right. So I hope that gives you a little bit picture of how important the simulation could be. And again, I mean, if it doesn't work, that means that the designer has to go back, reconfigure the track, or ultimately request that the site or the area have to be extended. Based on the above, it is my opinion that the concept design produced by QRail should have been more accompanied by a concept operation report, including a train movement simulation. This would have provided a greater level of confidence in the certainty of the operation design, the layout element of the freight hub. On the safety of design, the SID, although the information provided by QRail outlines safety consideration, it is not clear that specific SID process have been followed. For example, SID workshop, list of hazard or risk assessment. These SID processes are requirement of current QRail design procedures and principle. I recommend that QRail implement that SID procedure prior to detailed design. These procedures also have the potential to influence the operational design and layout of the freight hub. As a two recommendation, I have made the potential of influence the design of the freight hub. The report resulting from my recommendations should also be provided to the council. In addition to the primary benefits of the implementing my recommendation outlined above, access to this report would have provided council and the community much more certainty around the design of the freight hub as it developed. Having those reports would also give some transparency as why the design might change being the concept as detailed design stages, if changes become necessary following these processes. While I accept that it is up to QRail how to run its yard, I also understand that uncertainty in relation to aspects of the concept design are in front of mine in this process. And I consider that the provision of these reports would help to achieve that. It is not my intention that the council would have any assessment or technical certification role after these reports are provided. So this is the end of my statement, and I'm happy to respond to any of your questions.
Okay, well, I'll kick off, Mr. Fan, if you don't mind. Do you have in front of you the concept plan?
I have a very preliminary view of it, yes.
So you'll see that there is the marshalling yards adjacent to the realigned NIMT, and then you have these other buildings which are also able to be, are on what I might describe as railway sidings. You see that?
Yep.
You've emphasised, excuse me, safety and design. And I presume that the reason you've emphasised that is because safety is a critical component of the proper operation of a railway line. Do you agree with that?
That's correct, yep.
In terms of providing facilities to freight forwarders and other distributors or entities that predominantly rely on rail service, do you agree that irrespective of who might occupy the area, maintaining a safe operating environment for the use of railway sidings is a critical aspect of operating a railway line?
Yes.
And in relation to those sidings, would, on the current configuration, KiwiRail have to bring trains into the marshalling yard and then effectively draw wagons back into the NIMT before accessing those yards?
This is where I am also a little bit unclear on the information that I have reviewed so far, and that is what I want to go back in my request of having a complete concept of operation, how KiwiRail will operate it, but in my experience and also my judgment that I see it, I see there is a potential that the train has to draw back down to the main line and then push it in. Now again, I don't have the full extent of the area, so there is a benefit to have that complete concept operation report. Then I can definitely say that this is the procedure you have to carry out.
Do you think there is some value in providing flexibility in relation to the line arrangements in the marshalling yards?
May I ask, what do you mean by flexibility in that?
Well, the current proposed conditions require to be general accordance with the concept plan, but potentially when it comes to operational design, there might need to be some reconfiguration, and I'm just wondering whether you think that would be desirable.
Well, this is where I think it's very important to already now to fully understand how you operate before going into the next steps. So that's why I am emerging again that it has to be really clear from this moment how they will operate it, how the trains can be pushed into to some of the area. That will give you a little bit more clarity on that.
Okay. Now the other question is related to the trajectory of intensity of use of the site. It seems to me that the site has a high level of growth capacity within it that is unlikely to be utilised. And my first question is, the expert Dr. Childs for the noise assessment operated a worst case scenario, and are you aware of what operational elements went into that model when that was designed?
No, I don't. This is, again, coming back to the concept of operations. I have not found many in my review that I can see how the operation is. So going back to what was trying to explain before is based on the concept of the operation, how you operate the yard, it then can lead, it then can show the concentration of the train movements, of the shunting, and thereby giving you the understanding how the noise can be generated in some certain area. So to answer your question, I don't know on how that was derived from that report.
Right. So essentially, there is no explicit set of assumptions around operational characteristics that informed that worst case scenario.
Not to my knowledge.
Leaving that to one side, given that noise to some extent can have a cumulative component, would you anticipate that the noise generation from this proposed facility will not be static? In other words, it will be lineal, functionally related to the level of operational activity?
I can only answer the rail component, the rail operation itself. Now, about the facilities or the buildings, I'm not really sure on that. But again, to what I've said before is absolutely, they will be depending on how the trains move, where are the concentration of the coupling of the trains are. So that's where we are, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, that's helpful. Thank you. Commissioner Mackinson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Than. Thank you for taking us through the example of sort of the train modelling. I guess I only really have a couple of what I hope are fairly straightforward questions, and this is around the relevance of the safety and design process and the concept of operation report to the NOR, because essentially we are looking at, is there enough space to create a rail yard, rather than the detail of the operation. And it's just whether what you're asking for in terms of the concept and the SID, actually for the next stage where they where Kiwi Rail, you know, if the NOR is confirmed, it's actually looking at how they then develop the actual design of the yard.
This is coming back to actually what's really written in Kiwi Rail standards is, for instance, the safety and design, it has to begin with the concept of design. So at already beginning, you have to consider what are the risks. You don't have to proceed how to mitigate the risk, but at least you have to identify those risks. Of course, in detailed design, you can then proceed on to mitigations, how you can depict those risks. Huh? But that's what I want to emphasize is the safety and design. It has to start from the beginning, especially in the concept design.
So is the issue for you that you have no evidence that that's been undertaken? Because given we have a concept design in front of us that the conditions are essentially saying is the starting point, there's a requirement for the hub to be developed in general accordance with, this current process is confirmed. So is it just that you don't have any evidence that there's been safety in design or...
Yes.
Yeah. That's... So if you operated on the principle that given KiwiRail has come to a concept and if we assume that they have complied with their own stated processes of requiring safety in design from the get-go, what is your remaining concern around that?
The thing is, what I'm looking for is they comply with what is needed, because it is important step of the process to identify those risks, because those risks will give the council and the public as well to be aware of what kind of risk they are bringing into the area. Bear in mind, this is a greenfield, the area will be changed so to a railway operation. I think it is fair to understand what kind of a risk that's coming along with the concept design.
So you're talking about the risk that's being introduced to the area, but this is not a public site. So how do you see that risk to neighbours, stakeholders, interested parties is increased? Because my understanding as an engineer of safety and design is obviously we have to make sure that we are considering safety through the whole lifespan of a project.
Mm.
We're thinking about it in the design, the construction, the operation, and the maintenance and decommissioning. So it is around the whole life. So I'm struggling to align that process with the consideration of risk for the wider area if this is not publicly accessible.
It's not only in the area itself, but what you're bringing into the area, because that's going through, for instance, coming from north through Bunnythorpe, what kind of material you're bringing through that area. So it's not only the rail hub itself, as I see it.
But surely that's a matter of operation and it's not relevant to the NOR process. I think it's understood that railways carry a very wide variety of materials, and surely that risk is present anyway because you already have the North Island main trunk. Excuse me a moment. You already have the North Island main trunk passing through the area, so is it not reasonable to expect that you're already going to have trains with hazardous substances on it, whatever the concern might be, that they're already here?
But to my view, it's a level increase here as well. So obviously, the area itself will increase in level of usage. Of course, there are different activities that's introduced to the area. In my view, it's a part of already the concept design to understand those risks.
I'm just making some notes. I guess I'm still struggling as to how that relates to designating land at the level of... It seems to me that you're asking or wanting to see quite a level of detail, which I understand is necessary for the design, and I understand the need to have a broad understanding of the concept of what the rail hub would be. I'm just struggling to reconcile that high-level concept with what appears to be the detail that you're asking for or thinking is necessary in terms of the sort of operating concept for the railways and the SID process. Can you just help me with that? That I'm really struggling with.
I don't think at this level, this stage of the project, want to understand how the detail or how the mitigation process will be, but just the identification of the risk. That's where I'm at. It's also detailed that in the QRL standard that a risk hazard assessment have to be carried out in the concept design. So it's a first stage in the safety and design procedure that have to be carried out.
Okay. So if we work on the assumption that they would have done that to create the concept plan,
yep,
where does that then leave you in terms of further evidence in terms of safety and design and operating concepts, given that you've sort of stated within your summary this morning that essentially it is a matter for KiwiRail to figure out how to operate their yard?
Well, is what you said, if they have followed procedure, I then don't have any comments further on, because how to mitigate will probably be carry out in the following process.
Thank you. So essentially, if there was something in the NOR conditions that alluded to your, safety and design and operating model, you'd have no concerns at all at that point.
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. That was the only suite of questions I had.
Commissioner Pomari.
Kia ora, Mr. Tan. Thank you very much for your Section 42A report and for your summary today. Most of my questions have been asked and well answered. I just have a follow-up question, I guess, and perhaps at a broader level, and asking it in a slightly different way to my colleague. If I take you to paragraph 10 of your summary, just need to find it myself.
Yeah.
Okay, and you say there, in your opinion, that the concept design produced by KiwiRail should have been accompanied by a concept of operation report, including a train movement simulation. And you have had some discussion already with the commissioners about this. Now, taking what you said there, that the concept design produced by KiwiRail should have been accompanied by a simulation and a more detailed plan. I understand that, but it wasn't. So my question for you is really how critical, in your view, is the simulation as part of a broader concept of operation report to providing the certainty required in terms of the certainty required for this process, for the NOR, in terms of the operational design and layout of the freight hub?
Okay. Thanks for the question. I think it's very critical in a concept design to understand, again, how the different part of the yard will be used, because I hope that I've been clear in my previous example that if it doesn't work, that means that if you're not able to push in the train or take out the train in some part, you have to reconfigure the yard. And there is a risk that you have to expand the area to in order to make the operation happen, in order to push in the trains correctly. And then it's not only the train movements that's going to affect, but it's also affect on the I would say the truck traffic, the internal truck traffic in the area, but perhaps even the area that's coming into the yard itself as well. For instance, the crossing of Robertson's line, and that there is a very constrained traffic, I would say, in the future, because that's the main way in into the yard, right? So, yeah, the whole picture.
Thank you for that. So what I understand from what you're saying is that this simulation is critically important to understanding the viability of the whole concept design in terms of how the freight hub will operate.
That's correct, yep.
So how, just to clarify, how is this being addressed or not being addressed by KiwiRail through the current proposal and conditions?
Okay. To my review of this, the information that have been submitted by KiwiRail, I have not found that information. I have been requested that from KiwiRail. I still have a records of having some meeting with KiwiRail, more specifically in December 2020, to address this. But up to date, it is not clear in this information submitted. So I haven't found anything. That's why I'm again emphasizing the importance of this information to be submitted.
And what responses have KiwiRail given to you?
I can only recall on the information that I've read so far. We have been requested that information, but this is my summary is pretty much what I have found so far. That's why.
Okay, and so you would have expected to have been able to find this information in the context of the NOR application.
That's correct. In the concept design, to my experience, and also I would like to say that to business standards, a concept design of any railway should be accompanied by concept of operation for railway. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So what do you propose that we do in terms of moving forward with this process? Is it a condition on the NOR that you're seeking to ensure that this concept plan and the simulation are undertaken in the early stages of the planning and design of the freight hub? What is it exactly that you are seeking from this process now?
Yeah, I have talked to my team, and this is what we have proposed. It is a condition that KiwiRail to submit a concept operation report.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Commissioner Sweetman.
Thank you, Mr. Than. All the questions have been asked so far, but Ms. Copplestone, you're on notice again to pick this up in terms of how relevant it is for the notice of requirement or not. And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Than. I just also wanted to signal for both Ms. Copplestone and Mr. Lloyd, the assumptions that went into the worst case scenario for noise modelling, and whether the worst case scenario represents a realistic assessment of effects at, say, the 20-year, 40-year, and 60-year implementation. So is this worst-case effect a based on a 60-year projection of freight movements and operation, or is it based on a year 30 projection? Just that we have an understanding of how much the worst case relates to, is functionally related to operational projection. Because I think that's crucial to our understanding of the scale and nature of the effect. So those are things to for the future witnesses to reflect on. And to the extent that they need Mr. Than's assistance, you may need to help your team, but not necessarily come back to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you're now done, Mr. Than, and I appreciate your help.